fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Thank you and greetings, friends. Will you turn with me, please, in your Bibles, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and we're going to consider today verses 6 through 11. That's Proverbs 22, verses 6 through 11. Let me remind you that this section of Proverbs is the central section of the book. It's a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, pithy sayings, which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, moral reflections. And these proverbs of Solomon are for the most part unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. They are, however, remarkable for profound thought and acute observation, expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of divine wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. And today, the first proverb that we're going to consider is a proverb regarding training or discipline. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here is a wonderful promise in the Word of God concerning child training. It has reference to discipline. And there are many things involved in this matter of child training that to train him in the way in which he should go. He has to be instructed. He has to be disciplined. Sometimes he has to be chastised. He has to be corrected. He has to be loved. He has to be nurtured. He just has so many needs in this matter of proper training. But I want you to notice that it says, train up a child. It didn't say, tell a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Nor does it say, teach a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, telling and teaching are important. But it's training that child. And you see, training is a 24-hour-a-day proposition. There's just no starting and quitting times with this business of training. We not only tell them and teach them, but we have to show them. And they have to see in their parents a proper way of life as their parents seek to guide and direct those children. And the word here says that if that child is trained in the way he should go, then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Interesting, all children come to the place in life where they want to get out from under parental authority. And they can have a rebellious spirit at that time. And many things take place during those periods of development in which they are not prepared to be out on their own, and yet they want to be out on their own. Just keep on training them now in the ways they should go. Keep holding the reins. Keep loving them. Keep disciplining them. And when they're old, they'll not depart from that training they received. And you can count on it from the Word of God. In verse 7, we have a proverb that regards finances. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, this verse of Scripture does not say whether it's right or wrong. Just simply states a fact, that the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. This verse of Scripture suggests a capitalistic system of rule. The capitalist rules over the laborer, and the person who goes and borrows becomes a servant to the lender. Now, this is a God-ordained arrangement in a free society. So, the capitalist should control his workers with tenderness and not with pride and oppression. Greed, you see, turns a capitalist into a heartless tyrant and the lender into a cruel master who will abase those who fall in debt and become his slaves unless he is moved by compassion and kindness and a desire for the welfare of those who serve under him. There's a wonderful example of true piety in this matter of business given in the book of Ruth, where Boaz had been into the city, and he comes out and he greets his reapers, and he says to them, the Lord bless you. And they say to him, the Lord be with you. You see, if we had this attitude one toward another in business, then strife in the realm of labor and capital would come to an end. Having the welfare of one another at heart. So, we have here a proverb that has to do with finances. In verse 8, a proverb regarding seed sowing. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fall. You see, there's a principle in this matter of harvest, and that is, we sow what we reap. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. If you sow wild oats, you're going to reap wild oats. Here, one who sows iniquity, that is, one who sows to a crooked life, shall find in his reaping everything to be vain, to be empty, to be worthless, to be fruitless. And the result is that this person who has a rod, a symbol of power, he will be overtaken. And when he's overtaken, then the rod of his power in which he oppresses others will absolutely come to naught. And so we need to be careful what we sow and how we sow. In verse 9, there is a proverb regarding liberality or bountifulness. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. Now, this has to do with liberality in the true sense of the word. This man is a man who looks upon his fellow man with compassion and concern, and he is liberal in his blessing his fellow man and his using what God has given him in order to bless others. And he that hath this bountiful eye shall in turn be blessed. Why? He giveth his bread to the poor. He sees the poor in his need, and he relieves him. You know, the New Testament says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And also that God hath made this grace of giving to the needs of others, to abound toward us, so that we, receiving from him, we have all that's necessary, and then we reach out with a heart of compassion upon those in need, and we help them, thanksgiving that arises up before Almighty God, and then God supplies that sufficient grace again, so that we are bountiful and liberal in the true sense of the word with our eyes as we look upon those about us who are in need. and blessing comes from God as a result. But then verse 10 gives us a proverb of strife. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Cast out the scorner. Now, this has reference to the excommunication of a scorner from the assembly. But it also can mean have nothing to do with such a fellow who is a scorner, one who scoffs, one who slanders. You remember the first psalm reads, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord does not sit down in session with those who scoff and those who slander and those who blaspheme. He's not going to put up with it. And here comes a person along, and he brings a tale regarding someone, and this passage says, cast that fellow out. And if you do, if you have nothing to do with him, then what? Contention shall go out. And yea, strife and reproach that comes as a result of strife shall what? Cease. And then in verse 11, there's a proverb regarding purity. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Pureness of heart. This has to do with motives, genuine motives. Jesus said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Of course, a pure heart is a heart that has been cleansed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And spiritually speaking, the heart is the seat of our affections and our emotions and our volition. You see, from the heart of the issues of life. And these are the issues of the spirit being that we are. And if we love pureness of heart, in other words, if the heart that controls our emotions and our affections and our volition have been purified, it's purer than what? Grace will come forth from our lips. You see, we are to let our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. And not only that, but gracious speech will get the ear of the king, and the king then will recognize this person as one who is not living an unlawful life, and consequently he becomes a friend of the one who rules over him. Well, God bless you today as you've listened to these proverbs, and we will see you again at our next study.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.